Very thankful tonight for each one that has come out. I concur with Brother Ed. It's just a real blessing to have you all here and make the sacrifice. Many of you came a distance, and I trust the Lord will bless each one of us tonight as we have entered into the presence of the Lord. I'm reminded tonight as the song was sung about how much Jesus came and did for us. He gave sight to the blind. He gave comfort to the hurting. He gave deliverance to the captive. He gave joy to those that were in mourning. If Christ were here tonight, wouldn't it be a blessing to have Him go home with you? Say, I get dibs on Christ. I want Him to come home with me. And I imagine someone else would say, I need Him. I really need Him to come home with me. Do you know that in the flesh that Jesus was only one place at a time? He could only be there. He could only go home with one family tonight. And the rest of us would go home thinking maybe tomorrow night the Lord could go home with me. And that's the reason why Jesus told His disciples, He said, it's needful that I go away, that the Comforter might come. It's needful that I go back to heaven because I came down to this earth to prepare the way that the Holy Spirit might come. So the Spirit of God, the very essence of the comfort and the healing and the empowering presence of God, could go home with each and every one of us. We are not limited tonight to the physical presence of Jesus Christ. But tonight I'm so thankful that we have access to the Spirit of the Lord that can come, and He can come with each one of us to minister to every need that we have in our life. I do not want to just have a partial portion of what the Lord has provided for us. I remember I was in Pakistan, and I went to a certain place, and many places that we went and go there, the people are very poor, and they might just have one or two dishes of food. But we went to a home that they were a wealthy family, and they brought out so many different dishes. And there you sit on the bed to eat. You sit Indian style, and they place the food on the bed. And they just put that around, and you sit on the bed and with the men of the home, and you eat. And the women kept bringing out dish after dish, and soon that king-sized bed was just full of food. And I looked at it, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to have everything. And so I ate some different things, and it was good. And when we left, I made a comment. I said, I wasn't able to even try everything. And the man of the house said, yes, he said, the women noticed. He said, they saw that there were some dishes you didn't eat. And I thought, I didn't mean to be insulting. My stomach would only hold so much. Do you know tonight that God has provided so much for us? And I will say, there is room enough. We have room to take everything that God has provided for. But if we don't take of everything that God has provided, do you know that we're going to be the losers tonight? We're going to be the ones that suffer. And so by the help of the Lord tonight, I have some really good news to share with you this evening. Because see, we live in a world of bad news. Seems like someone comes up and says, well, have you heard? And you can just get ready for some bad news. That is the title of the message tonight, Have You Heard? And the subject is the Holy Spirit. Have you heard? Because you know tonight that some people have heard about the Holy Spirit, but a lot of people don't understand it. And it's become a convoluted theological mess in people's minds. But God never intended the Holy Spirit to be a complicated thing. It was part of the simple. And young people, I want you to get a hold of this tonight. It was part of the simple plan of Jesus Christ tonight. And the Lord has provided everything that we need tonight to be spiritually successful in life. That's good news to me. Because that means if I say, well, my dad was this way and my grandpa was this way and there's no hope for me. Do you know that the Lord has given everything that we need to overcome Yes, we all still have personalities. But He has given us what we need to overcome ourselves that we can live a victorious Christian life. The Lord has made provision for you and for me tonight. That's good news. And you may think, well, and I know young people have struggled with it. I know sometimes, and I remember when it seems like the devil was battling so hard, and it just seems like something's wrong with me. Something is just unique to me, and everybody surely doesn't have to fight this hard. You know, there I got some news for you on that line too. We are all in the flesh, and the enemy is working hard on all of us. But there is an answer. God provided for that all of us can overcome the flesh. We're still going to be tempted. You cut us, we're still going to bleed. You hurt me, I might still cry the tears at night because of the pain. But the reality is that there is something that the Lord left for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, that I can have comfort, and I can have healing, and I can have strength, and I can have power to overcome myself, and power to overcome the world, and power to overcome sin. Yeah. The Lord has not left you comfortless tonight. The Lord has not, Jesus did not come and die on the cross and forgive us of our sin just to watch us go right back to the very contamination of sin. But the Lord had a complete and a beautiful plan. Lord bless His Word tonight. I want a full portion. In Acts chapter 19, we'll begin reading with verse 1. It said, it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul having passed through the upper coast, he came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Isn't it a blessing when you find disciples of Jesus Christ? Yeah. Disciples of someone that really has a heart to serve the Lord. Do you know that we are not the door and the entrance to the kingdom of God? No. The entrance is Jesus Christ. It is all of those that have a desire to serve the Lord and are doing everything that they know that God wants them to do. There are individuals and there are groups of people tonight that do not have all of the truth, but their heart is in the right place and they're doing everything that they know to do. And when you meet someone like that, there's just a kinship of spirit. There's a common desire that, Lord, whatever You want, I want to do what God wants me to do. And so that's the kind of people that Paul found on this trip to Ephesus. And he asked them a question. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And it says, ghost, a better translation of spirit. Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And this was their answer. We have not so much as heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. And He said unto them, unto then, what were you baptized? And they said unto John's baptism. Understand that these men, it wasn't necessarily that they had never heard of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't even mean that they didn't believe in the Holy Spirit, but they had not yet understood and heard what the function through Jesus Christ of the Holy Spirit was. We don't know what you're talking about, having received the Holy Spirit. What is this all about? And you know, that is a question that people are still asking today.
Yes.
And my heart hurts when I know that there are people that have grown up right among God's people. And they don't understand. When people start talking about the Holy Spirit, it becomes some mystical experience. But you know, that's not the way the Lord intended it tonight. And we just want to bring it back down to some basics tonight. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, we really don't understand what you mean. We don't understand. Have you heard tonight? Have you heard? Have you received the Holy Spirit? You notice He said, since you believed? Since you have started out serving the Lord, have you received the Holy Spirit? You know that there should be an answer for all of us tonight. The answer is either, no, I haven't received, I'm not even sure what you're talking about. Or maybe I know, but no, I have not received Him. Or the answer tonight is, yes, I received the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And so then, Paul went on, and I believe Paul began to preach a message to these folks. I believe he had a message of good news to share with them. He said, unto what were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Understand this, that these were Jews. People that, and I believe they were some converted Jews, but they accepted the message of John the Baptist. And what was the message of John the Baptist? It was a message of repentance, wasn't it? Repent of your sins. Turn away from your sin and give your heart to God. And these people believed in that message of repentance and they were baptized. But these folks did not yet fully understand what Jesus Christ had come to do. And Paul, as he began to expound this simple gospel message to them, it said they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that has caused a lot of confusion in a lot of places. Yes. It was not to the exclusion of the way that Christ taught us to baptize in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But these were people that as a people, the Jews, had rejected Christ as the Son of God. Many of them believed in God as a Father. They believed in a Spirit of God, but they rejected the concept of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And when the instruction was given, be baptized in the name of Jesus, it didn't mean that the apostles went down and did it exclusively in the name of Jesus. They followed the teachings of Christ, but they brought Christ into that because they had rejected it in the past. So he said, you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus. And I believe they went down in the water and baptized these brethren in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then it said, when Paul laid his hands upon them, something happened. It said the Holy Spirit came on them. And they began to speak with tongues and prophesy, and the men were about 12. He said, what is this about tongues? Do you know that it was something that occurred when the Holy Spirit was revealing His power, especially in the early morning church, to prove to people that there was a Holy Spirit? And we say, what was the nature of these tongues? All we have to do is turn to the book of Acts. It's not complicated. Acts chapter 2, when it said they spake in tongues, or rather other languages. Languages, the Lord gave them the gift of languages, and it literally, in Acts 2, lists out the languages that they were speaking. This was not some ecclesiastical language. It was not some kind of a language that was a heavenly celestial language. It was a language of man. Some might have been, some were speaking Arabic, some were speaking Greek, some were speaking other languages, divinely inspired of God for the purpose that people would hear the gospel message. It was Babel. It was Babel that confounded the languages. It was the Holy Spirit that brought the simple gospel to go out in all languages that would one more time unify God's people through His Spirit. So He laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Since you believe, these were not sinners. Do you know that the Holy Spirit, because Christ is not here in the flesh to go home with each one of us. He sent His Holy Spirit that could take up His abode in our heart to empower us and enable us to live a victorious Christian life. Have you heard tonight? Have you received tonight the Holy Spirit? There are many that are saved and wanting to follow the Lord, and they're confused and troubled. Do you know this is one of the reasons some people are almost afraid to get saved? Because I don't know if I can keep it. Yeah, that's one thing to be forgiven, but I'll tell you what, it's something else to go live it. And it's and the enemy capitalizes on that. I don't know if I can live it. Do you know there's an answer to that tonight? And it's not in willpower. It's not in, well, I'll just try a little bit harder. It is by the Holy Spirit of God that can come in our life and be there with us day in and day out, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that when I am weak, He can strengthen me. When I am sad, He can comfort me. When I am hurting, He can bless me. When I am weak in my flesh, He can give me power to enable me to say no to Michael and yes to God. That's what the Holy Spirit came to do. It was simple. It was as if Christ were right there. But because He's not, He sent us His Spirit to live with us and walk with us and abide in us. John baptized with water. If we just take a little step back. John baptized with water. But you remember when Jesus came and John said over in Matthew 3:11, John said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. See, here's another confusion the enemy's brought. They say, well, this is the function of Christ, is to forgive us of our sin. And then way down, somewhere down the road, there's this other separate experience of the Holy Spirit that's so confusing. You know, that's not the way Jesus taught it.
No.
It's not the simplicity. Jesus came that we might receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus is very integrally tied with the function of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came and died on the cross that we might be forgiven of our sins. For what cause? To clean us up, that our vessel would be holy and clean, that the very presence of God could come in and fill our temple. Know ye not that ye are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you not remember in the Old Testament when they built the tabernacle? And they built it exactly like God said. Do you remember what happened after the building got finished? It said the glory of the Lord came down and filled the temple. When the tabernacle, same thing happened with the temple. After it was built, the very presence of God came down and He filled the temple. Have you heard tonight? That is what the Spirit of the Lord desires to do in all of our life tonight. If you have repented of your sin and the Lord has cleaned you up, the Lord wants to send His Spirit and enable you to walk like the Bible teaches, to live a holy life. I can't do this by myself. I don't have the strength to say no to the devil, but through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can live victoriously with God. Thank the Lord for the good news of the Holy Spirit tonight. Lord bless. Have you experienced the glory of the Lord? Do you know the glory of the Lord is a whole lot more than a feeling? It's a whole lot more than an emotion. It is an indwelling experience. Day in and day out, there's power to live this way. Over in the book, and by, for the sake of time tonight, I'll give some references, but I'll just refer you to some of the Scripture. But over in Acts in the first chapter, after Jesus had ascended up to heaven, the disciples were there and they were praying and talking and communing, and they remembered what Jesus had told them. He told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 4, He said to wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for it. In other words, you are not equipped to go out and face an ungodly world without the Spirit. You've been forgiven of your sins. I saved you. You repented. But there's more that I came to do. I want you to wait. And they said in verse 8, He said, ye shall receive power. After what? The Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You say, what does the Holy Spirit do? I know there are lots of illustrations about what you know, to try to illustrate what the Holy Spirit does and what He doesn't. Some of them are good and some of them just confuse people. I say, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, it's power. Anybody here need power? Need some high-octane gas in the tank? Jesus provided it. Some people are just putting 87 in the tank. There's 93. There's some high-octane that will enable you. Have you ever driven a car that didn't have power and you're puttering down the road? You're saying, I hope I make it up this hill. I've been in cars like that. And it's like, I'm going to try them out. I don't know if we're going to make it. Do you know that? Unfortunately, that's how too many Christians are tonight. The Lord has forgiven them. The Lord is blessing your life, but you're puttering. Just barely making it all the time and just inward struggle all the time. Oh, thank God, there's a greater power tonight. Jesus came to those that are saved. In what power? He will give you a gift tonight. It's not complicated. He said, I'll give you power. Power to do what? Power to say no when you're tempted. I know sometimes people get in their mind, well, oh, this is the answer. If I can come and get the Holy Spirit, I won't have a battle anymore. Oh, yes, you will. You'll still have a battle. But now you will be equipped. It's like sending someone out to war without giving them the proper equipment. Going out to war and you've got the helmet of what? Salvation. You got the shield of faith. But I left my sword at home. How are we going to do battle? It's no wonder people are struggling. It's no wonder people are barely making it. Because the full plan of Christ Jesus was to clean us up and fill us with the Spirit. It was two distinct works, very clearly. Every example in the book of Acts, and you can just go through it, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter, and just go through, the Holy Spirit always came to the believers. Did not come with a prayer of repentance, but it came when people had been cleaned up and acknowledged that I need something more. If you don't understand all of the theology, you know, I tell you tonight, that's all right. I don't understand everything about a car, but it got me here. I may not understand it all, but there are people I believe that have gotten the Holy Spirit, and they didn't even know what was happening. But they came to the Lord and said, Lord, I am yours, and I've consecrated you, and there's something more. I'm really struggling. And the Lord came in with another blessing. I'll tell you what that was. That was the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't received it tonight, you can receive it. Yes. We just need to say, Lord, I believe, and I'm a clean vessel. And the Lord says, I have a gift to give to you. I want to empower you. And oh, I'm thankful it didn't stop with the power. But there's enabling power to say no to myself. Yes. Because you know what? I'm still here. Yes. I get up in the morning, I'm still looking at Michael in the mirror. And I can still shake my head. But thank God that there is power to say no to self. There is power. When the temptations get so strong, folks, there is power that you don't have to keep giving in to the temptation. This is wonderful to come down to this altar, folks, and it's here. But year after year after year, when it's the same thing over and over, there is a place of power that can enable us to start conquering some things. Amen? There's a power that can encourage and can help us to begin to start moving forward in our experience with God. But too many people are limited in how much they can do for God because they don't have the Spirit of God with them. And you say, but the Lord's been helping me and talking to me. Yes, the Holy Spirit is dealing and working. But He doesn't want to just work with you. He wants to live with you. You see, that's exactly what Jesus, in essence, told His disciples. He said, the Spirit is with you, but He shall be in you. So the Holy Spirit is working with us, but He wants to just go home with you. He wants to take up His abode and dwell in your heart to empower you and enable you and strengthen you. And in the words of Jesus, John chapter 16, to guide you and to lead you You want direction in your life? It comes by having the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that I can just instantaneously say, no, what do I do? And then, okay, that's the answer. But when the Spirit of God dwells within us, as we seek Him for leadership and guidance, when He speaks, we can say as the song we sing, I know the sweet sound of His voice. I know the Spirit of the Lord is calling and I know His leadership. And sometimes I'm confused and I don't understand. But in those times, I can get quiet and say, Lord, I'm still submitted to Your will. Lord, would You lead me? And His Spirit will guide you. And He will lead you. He will enable us to grow. We talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know there is a measure of love and joy? And there's a measure of those graces when we begin our experience with God. But folks, there's too many people whose lives have been stunted in their growth. And it seems like they reach a point and they're just not moving forward. There's an answer tonight. Have you heard? Have you heard there's a Holy Spirit that wants to come in and dwell with you and go home with each one of us tonight and work with you and lead you and purify you and put His love in your heart and enables, the Spirit of the Lord enables unity. Do you know the Spirit of the Lord has a lot of functions? We are desperately in need. I believe tonight, and this is my opinion, if you disagree with me, I won't argue with you. But I believe that this tonight is one of the greatest needs among Christian people. It's one of the greatest lacks. And I'm not just talking about the Christian world out there. I'm talking about the Christian world in here. It's one of the greatest needs. Have you received the Spirit? Have you heard? Do you understand? Have you come and said, Lord, that's what I need? I didn't know it worked that way. I didn't know that was available. Well, sit down and come and eat. Get everything that God has for you tonight, and you'll begin to grow. And it's not necessarily, yes, the Holy Spirit is fire. But it's also quietness. And it's gentleness. And it's that sweet assurance in my heart that the presence of God is with me. And I can make it. The Lord's going to help me. He's going to strengthen me. And He'll bear witness with your spirit. And you will find that as you go from day to day, you will begin to understand and see how, you know what, I have greater power. There's something different. The focus is not so much inward. Yes, you're still tempted. But now you can begin to focus outwardly and to begin to work for God more successfully. If you need more anointing in your heart tonight, you know this is one of the answers. If things have become a little dull and it seems like the fire's not what it ought to be, have you received the Spirit of God? Is He dwelling in you? You may say, well, it sounds a little too good to be true. It's good, folks. Because it doesn't take us out of this world. We're going to have to die to get there. But it is a strength that when I read and I look in the Bible and say, man, I don't know how I can live this way. The Spirit of the Lord can help us to live a holy life. Yes. Folks, this is the reason why there are so many ups and downs and back and forth. It's because people haven't got the full plan. And Jesus said, I want you to get the Holy Spirit. If you've asked the Lord to forgive you, I've got something else to give to you. He said, I want you to receive the Spirit of the Lord because I want to go home with you. I want to dwell in you. I want my Spirit to be in your spirit. And it's kind of like the children of Israel, lest there be any misunderstanding tonight. It's kind of like the children of Israel when they left Egypt. That represents sin. And God delivered them. They weren't in sin anymore. They weren't in Egypt. They weren't slaves anymore. But remember, they wandered without direction. That wasn't the Lord had a land to take them to. And there were many that died in unbelief because they didn't think they could make it. And there are too many casualties right among our friends and family and brothers and sisters in the church that they fell because I can't make it. tonight the good news is that you can make it. The Lord made provision for you to make it tonight. When they got to Canaan land, and He said, okay, it's the land that flows with milk and honey. That sounds good, doesn't it? The fruit that you didn't plant, the houses that you didn't build, God provided it. But you know, it took something to get that. They still had to fight. They went to Jericho, and they have some big walls, didn't they? You know you're going to still have some walls? When you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to encounter some fortified cities. But when you put your trust in God, those walls will fall. There were still giants in the land of Canaan. And they had to fight. But the Scripture said they conquered it. And how did they do it? It was step by step. It was day by day. It was little by little. But it was victory every time when they trusted in the Lord. It's the same way in an experience with the Holy Spirit. There are still walls and there are still giants, but now we're not going out in our own strength. But now we've got a sword to fight with. It's an offensive weapon, and we're not always having to play defense against the devil. We can go out and start doing some good for God and conquering some land. And it comes about by the Holy Spirit. Thank the Lord for that. It's noteworthy that in Acts chapter 8, when the saints in Samaria received the gospel message. Now there are some folks that are sinners, that some of the apostles went and preached repentance and they accepted the word of God. And when the apostles at Jerusalem heard that these people were saved, you know what the first thing they did? They said, we need to send some brethren and tell them about the Holy Spirit. They didn't wait 40 years. They didn't wait 3 years. They didn't wait 3 months. As soon as they got the message that someone has been saved, they said, go tell them about the Holy Spirit. Why is that? Because we need that power to live in this dark world that we're in. We don't need to be afraid of sin, but I can't do it in myself. And without the Spirit, it's going to be this struggle and struggle and struggle until it wears me out. And eventually, many times, people start sliding back. There's no need to slide back tonight. You can move forward through the power of the Holy Spirit tonight. And I would that the church know this evening that when you get saved, yes, there are two distinct works. But as soon as you get saved and you recognize that there's something more, it's time to put into it for it. It's time to come and say, Lord, I want that. I want a full portion that I can please the Lord in my life. So in Acts chapter 2, we read, the people asked them when Peter was preaching, they said, what are we supposed to do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized. And then he told them something else would happen. He said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise is unto you and unto your children. And that promise is there for us tonight. What do I have to do to get this? Because I need this. What do I have to do? Have you repented? If there's sin in your life, you can come tonight and the Lord will forgive you. If you've had doubts and are afraid to be saved because you just don't know if you can make it, the Lord made provision for you to make it tonight. It's a package deal. Tonight, if you are a clean vessel, if you've repented of your sin, and you're willing to come and say, Lord, I place myself before you. Without reservation. You see, when we place the sacrifice on the altar, that's when the fire falls. But if we don't place ourselves on the altar, there's nothing for the fire to fall on. But it's when we come and say, Lord, this is what I need. And I don't know what to do. It's not complicated. Just present yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I'm saved. You've forgiven me of my sins. But Lord, I need something more. And this is a gift. When my wife has given me a gift, I have never one time had to fight her for that gift. Because she handed it to me. Hey, Michael, here's a gift for you. I didn't have to wrestle with her. That's the nature of a gift. Do you know that's why Jesus came? He said, it's a gift. This is something that God gives to you. What we do is give ourselves to God. But God says, I have a gift to you. Have you heard about that gift? Have you received it tonight? There's a familiar story in Luke chapter 11, verse 11 to 13. Jesus said, if a son asks his father for bread, He said, will he give them a stone? What's the answer to that? Fathers, your children came and said, I'm hungry. Would you give them a stone? No. Jesus said, how much more? The Father wants to give the Holy Spirit to His children. Tonight, this is a gift. It is Satan that has twisted and polluted and confused the theology of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's simple. It's not complicated. And even if you don't understand every little in and out of it, it's, Lord, I need more than what I have. I want that comfort daily. I need that strength and I need that power. And the Lord says, I have a gift for you. In closing tonight, have you noticed that those of you that work with tools, if you have a table laid out with tools, you normally grab what you're familiar with. So, well, this will do, I'll use this and this and this. And you sisters do the same thing in the kitchen. And if there's a new apparatus, a tool or something that you don't understand really, you kind of just push it off to the side. We've done that before until we got to know what it was about. And we say, this would have saved us a lot of time if we would have had the right tool. I believe tonight that the Holy Spirit has been pushed to the side, not out of rebellion, but because I don't understand and I'm not sure about it, so I'm just going to keep living like I am and doing what I know. Tonight, if you will just open up your heart, if you have not received the Holy Spirit, the Lord has a gift to give to you, and it will enable you to begin to grow. It will empower you and strengthen you. We are desperate tonight for that anointing and power of the Holy Spirit. Have you heard tonight? Have you heard? And then the question is, have you received? If you haven't, I'd encourage you to come and open up your heart and receive this beautiful gift that the Lord has given to us. Amen.